Genesis 37, verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." And his brethren said unto him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth?" And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. That's as far as I'll read for sake of reading. What I want to talk to you a little bit about this evening is Joseph living a life of adversity. Living a life of adversity. If you study out Joseph's life, Joseph did not have a very easy life. He had a lot of adversity come his way. His story, of course, is a great picture of Christ in many ways, many ways. Hated of his brethren, you know, all the things, that a lot of things that Christ faced. We see in the story, in the life of Joseph. And Joseph was real. He's not just a story. I say that because we're reading it here in God's Word. God put it down for us to read. But Joseph was a real person. He was the last son of Jacob. And he was just standing in the field doing what he was supposed to do with his brethren. Keeping his father's flock, feeding his father's flock. Doing the will of God as best that Joseph knew how. And he went to sleep and dreamed a dream. Now, I remember my granddaddy saying one time, a man can't help what he dreams. When you go to sleep and you shut your eyes, you lose consciousness, you can't help what goes on in a dream. And so it's not as though Joseph, you know, made this up to happen. It happened to him. The dream came to him. And especially in their day, dreams meant something. Especially dreams that were, of twofold nature somehow. Either two dreams similar or the same. That means that it was established by God. That it was something that was going to happen. And Joseph even explains that years later to Pharaoh about how that dreams work in light of God giving dreams and the interpretation of dreams and knowing whether a dream is from God or not. And so he dreamed a dream, and he has this dream, and he shows that they were all binding sheaves in the field. And all of their sheaves did obeisance. In other words, they bowed down to his sheaf. And so they caught on very quick that sounded a whole lot like, we're going to serve you. But then he dreamed of the moon and the stars. Are you listening to me? And the sun. And all of them bowing before him. And then, so that was a sign that his father and his mother, along with his 11 brethren, were going to bow down before him. Joseph doesn't know what's going to happen in his life. But he's dreamed this dream, and his brethren begin to hate him. And Joseph faced a lot of hate in his life. A lot of hate. There's an undercurrent of hate that came from his brothers. A jealousy at first. A jealousy and then a hatred. And, jealous because his father's love for him. Did you know some people are jealous of God's people simply because God blesses us and loves us the way that he does? And our relationship with our Heavenly Father is what the world hates you and I for. They may not understand it or realize it, but they hated Jesus without a cause. You read about his life, and there wasn't a man more humble than him, more loving than him, more meek than him, more giving than him, and yet they hated him. They despised him. I want to give you a few things as we move on through here. I want to just kind of pick some things out. There's no way I can get it all, but I want to talk to you about living a life of adversity. You and I need to do like Joseph. We need to accept the adversity in our life. Accept the adversity in our life. If Joseph had not accepted the circumstances that he was in all through his life, I mean to just accept it, he would have never been able to move forward. I mean, the first thing that happened, his brothers hated him, threw him in a ditch. He was sold off into slavery. Now, he could have pined his life away, but he accepted it. He accepted what was happening in his life, and he landed in Egypt. He was bought by a man named Potiphar. And you know what he did when he got into Potiphar's house? He didn't just throw fits and try to escape, and he accepted the fact that he was a bought slave. And you know what he did? He worked as hard as he could work in that man's house. And that man's house was blessed because that God blessed Joseph. Potiphar saw that everything Joseph did, God blessed it. And so Joseph became the head of the house next to Potiphar. He advanced, but he had to accept. He had to accept his condition. He had to accept the fact that he had adversity in his life. Many times you and I, we don't accept it. We cry over it, beg God to get us out of it, rather than just serving the Lord in it. We should serve the Lord in our adversity. Let the adversity come. It's going to come. Serve the Lord in our adversity. Somebody's got their eye on our life, seeing how you and I are going to handle our adversity. Are we going to serve God in our adversity? Or are we not going to serve God in our adversity? Many people quit. They won't serve God when things get tough. They give up on the Lord. Or they begin to blame the Lord. Joseph kept looking to the Lord. He knew, listen, that the Lord of his dreams was the Lord that knew where he was. And he continued to serve the Lord. And his service to the Lord, he served Potiphar's house. He served his house as if he was serving his Lord. That's why he advanced the way that he did. So you and I must accept our circumstances to move forward. He worked hard. He prospered his captor. He was patient. He endured the trials in patience as they came. If you look at him, listen, it wasn't very long after he was in Egypt. Now, he may have wanted to go home, but you know where he went? He went to the dungeon. He wasn't going home. And you know why that he went to the dungeon? Because Potiphar's wife, she got her eye on him, and she made advances toward him, but he would not. And you know why that he would not? Because not only did he know that this was a sin against Potiphar, he said in chapter 39, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" He knew that it was a sin against God. I'm not going to do this because I would sin against God. A lot of men may have took advantage of that situation. There he is in an Egyptian man's house, an Egyptian that's a captain in Pharaoh's land. Are you listening to me? A man of great power, and his wife wants Joseph. But Joseph said, that's a sin against God. I'm not going to sin against my God. I mean, some people, you know what some people do? Some people would do like this. They would say, well, my life's in a mess anyway. What's one more sin going to matter? I might as well live like they live in Egypt. This is the way my life's going to be. I might as well go ahead and live the way that my flesh wants to live. But no, Joseph was patient, and he endured the trials in patience, and he waited on the Lord's timetable. He was down there in that prison. And in that prison, he met two men. He met two men that were put in that prison, no doubt because possibly there was poison found in Pharaoh's house. You see, it was the chief butler and the chief baker. So why would the chief butler and the chief baker be being held in prison? And they're just there for a few days. They wasn't there very long. They wasn't there very long at all. And they had a dream. And neither one of them knew what it meant. And they told Joseph. Joseph told them exactly what it meant. He told the one, he said, Joseph is down there in that prison, and you find it, he's actually put over the prison. This is before the men come. Joseph's master took him in and put him in prison. Potiphar put him in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners. Everything Joseph is doing, he becomes the head of. He became the head of Potiphar's house. Now he's the head of all the prisoners, watching over the prisoners. Why? Because they knew the character of Joseph. He wasn't in there like any other prisoner. He wasn't complaining about his innocency or his guilt. He was patient. And he held on to his integrity. His integrity. From the time that he was in Potiphar's house, he was not going to do that. Why? Sin against God. And in the prison, he wasn't going to be like the other prisoners. He was the servant of God, Joseph. So he's put over the prison. Now, the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And both men, again, dreamed a dream. And Joseph saw that they were sad the next day. Joseph saw that they were sad. You see, Joseph wasn't sad. Concentrating on how sad he was, he saw that they were sad. What are you so sad for? There he is in prison. I mean, most people sitting in prison, they'd have been having a pity party themselves. They'd have been, what's the matter with you? I'm sad. I was sold off. I've been lied about. I've been thrown in prison. But Joseph, he's not talking about any of that. He's serving the Lord in his integrity. Now he's trying to be a strength and a help to these two men. Why are you so sad? And Joseph, he had asked the butler after he had given him the interpretation. He told him, he said, I'll tell you what's going to happen to you. In 3 days, Pharaoh's going to take you out of here. And then the baker, he said, well, what did my dream mean? He told him his dream. And Joseph told the baker, said, what's going to happen to you is in 3 days, he's going to hang you. And the birds, the fowls, are going to eat your flesh off your body. And that's exactly what happened. But Joseph asked the butler when he got out, he said, remember me. And he said, if you would just tell Pharaoh of my condition and tell him that I'm down here, if you would just remember me and tell him of that. And when he got out, you know what he did? He forgot all about him. He forgot all about him. But he continued his hard work and his patience. And again, his patience had a lot to do with being able to wait on the Lord's timetable. He wanted out of the prison. He wasn't getting out. It must not be God's will for me to get out right now. He was waiting on the Lord's timetable. Sometimes you and I, listen, we don't wait on the Lord the way we should. We give up too easily. That, you know, we want God to fix our problem now. There's a lot of things I'd like God to fix for me now. I need it now. Amen? I could use it now. But if the Lord doesn't see to deliver me, then it'll be on His timetable. His timetable. And so I should continue to accept my circumstance and work hard and remain patient and keep my integrity. While he's down there, it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. Nothing's happened. What's been going on in Joseph's life? Nothing any different than what it had been going on the whole time. He is a servant of the Lord, accepting the place where he is at in his life. I accept that this is where I am in my life. This is where God has me in my life. And I accept that. Paul, could you imagine the books that may not have been written had he pined in the jails instead of accepting that that is where God had him at the time? I mean, there would have been a lot of soldiers unsaved. Paul talked about those of Caesar's household. Those were men that he had won to the Lord in the prison, in the jail, that guarded over him, watched over him. Are you listening? He accepted where he was in his life. And that's hard for us sometimes to do. Because sometimes where we are is a hard place. Those places are places where God is molding us. If I don't know how to go through a hard time, how am I going to lead someone else out of a hard time? If I don't know what a valley is, how am I going to help someone else to the mountaintop? If I do not know what famine feels like, how am I going to help someone else through their famine? But Pharaoh had a dream. He had 2 dreams, actually. In chapter 41, he dreamed of these two fish. One of them was fat. 7 of them came up through there. And then there was 7 real lean, sickly fish. And they devoured the 7 fat, healthy fish. And he didn't know what it was. And he laid back down, dreamed another dream. A stalk of corn, 7 ears of corn. Big, full, lustrous ears of corn. And then another stalk with 7 wind-beaten. You ever seen some of that corn look like half of the kernels didn't come out on it? Bad shape. Skinny, gnarly. Ready for the hog pen, really. Nothing on it. That's what he, and all of the men that had the wisdom and all the astrologers and all the magicians and everybody that Pharaoh had, he could not interpret his dream. Couldn't tell him what it was. And then the butler speaks up. You know, I remember there was a young man, a Hebrew, back when I was put in jail those few days, he interprets dreams. Probably the only reason that butler ever said anything is he thought maybe he was going to get rewarded for mentioning it. Because up until this point, he didn't care a thing about saying anything about Joseph down there in the dungeon. But they need a dream interpreted. They need somebody that knows the Lord. The one who's the giver of dreams. The one that can interpret the dreams. They need somebody specific. Are you listening to me? They need somebody like Joseph. Just like Joseph. And as a matter of fact, there was a Joseph down in the dungeon. Amen? Are you hearing? I mean, listen, when things come to the time of God's timetable, when the Lord says, now is the time, for me to redeem you through all of your struggle, through all of your adversity. Now is the time. He brings him out. He says, I remember Joseph. I remember Joseph. I wrote that down today. I remember Joseph. Whew. That really blessed my heart. I began to thinking about the Lord. I remember the Lord. The helper of my soul. Amen. The one that suffered the way he did. That had to set his face like flint going to the cross. Rejected and despised of men. I remember the Lord. Thank God that he was there. Amen. And but as far as a Christian's concerned, as far as you in your life, all that you have went through, all that you have faced, and you may have felt forgotten about, talked about, lied about, cheated about, in serving the Lord. Yeah, that happens. That happens. You serve the Lord, and you wouldn't believe the enemy that'll come against you. The people that'll forsake you. But he was there, this young Hebrew, and he interpreted. And they brought Joseph, and Pharaoh said to Joseph, I've dreamed a dream. There's none that can interpret it. And I've heard of thee. Thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. Here's where Joseph keeps his humility. His humility in his adversity. Joseph answered Pharaoh saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Pharaoh, you're looking at me. It's not in me. God's the one that's going to give you an answer of peace. Where all of that adversity is coming from, they'll come to you and you'll get to testify. It's not me. It's the God in me. The God in me that'll do something for you. The same God that would show me, he'll show you. It's not me. I don't have this power within myself. Joseph remained humble through his adversity. Sometimes we get proud or angry or the flesh will try to rise and bring out all manner of feelings when you're facing adversity. You can't face your adversity in the flesh. You'll fail. But if you'll live in it, accept it, be patient, work hard, you can bless others. He blessed Pharaoh. He told him, he said, I'll tell you what this means. He said, there's going to be 7 years of plenty, but then there's going to be 7 years of famine. And you know the story. The sun and the moon and the stars gave obeisance to him. Jacob and all of his family, Joseph's father, mother, all of his brothers came down to Egypt, and they had to come before Joseph and ask Joseph to save their life. Everybody was starving to death. But because, listen, God had highly exalted him and given him a name above every name in Egypt. Are you listening? That at the name of Joseph, everybody came. Only Pharaoh was above Joseph. Only Pharaoh. And they didn't even recognize him when they came. When they came, he could have been vengeful. You sold me into slavery. I spent years in the dungeon. I'm going to do the same thing to you. I'm going to throw you in a dungeon. I'm going to make you slave of Egypt. I mean, he could have been nasty. But he loved them. He loved them. In his adversity, he understood real love. Forgiveness. Even after it's all over with, to be able to find forgiveness for those that were your adversaries. Potiphar had to come to Joseph. Potiphar's wife that lied about him had to come to Joseph. You ever thought about that? Could you imagine them walking up needing corn? And there Joseph is. He's not in prison anymore. He's over all of Egypt. Reckon their head dropped. Joseph, be merciful to us. We are thy servants. We need corn or we'll starve. Everybody bowed before him. Everybody. His brothers that sold him, hated him. It changed their heart toward him. His life caused their heart to be changed. They didn't despise him anymore. They needed him desperately. It's the way they should have been from the beginning. Joseph had told Pharaoh when he interpreted those dreams, he said, God has showed Pharaoh what he's about to do. And then he told him, he said, God's about to do what he showed you he was going to do. Saul, and it was only because of Joseph that God worked through Joseph. You see, if we don't accept where we are, we may not be in the place we're supposed to be come the time that God needs us to be there. And it could mean the saving of our family. Have you ever thought about that? If we don't accept willingly where God has us in our life and the things that we face and face them the way that Joseph faced them, then come time, that God needs us in this other place, and that there's only one avenue. It's through the avenue of adversity that we get there. It was only through the avenue of adversity that Joseph was found by Pharaoh. I hope something's been said this evening to be a help to you. We all face adversity. We all will face adversity. I pray often, Lord, none of us likes to face adversity. But the Lord knows what we need in our life. The ones, listen, I don't know what all happened with Joseph's brothers, but I know they were up there in Canaan's land and they were living the life with Jacob while Joseph was facing one hardship after another, one adversity after another. Talked about, no doubt, by his brothers. Again, lied about and talked about by those in Egypt. Everywhere they went, talked about, lied about. But the one that faced the adversity was the one that God used the greatest. Clay that's not never squeezed is never used. Fire is never formed. Amen. Steel that's never beat on can never be formed and sharpened into a sword. We must accept where we are. I want you to stand. I'm done.